That'd be David Levine versus Children's Museum of Indianapolis. Mr. Pierce? I'm sorry. Mr. Pierce?
Yes, Your Honor. Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is John Pierce, and I represent David Levine. Morning, Counsel. In this appeal, we are appealing a grant of summary judgment by the District Court and for the defendant, and I think we need to show a couple of things in this. Is one, that Mr. Levine suffered from a serious health condition, and two, that he provided sufficient notice to the museum of his need for leave, or the fact that he had taken leave. As far as a serious health condition, one of the ways we could show that Mr. Levine had a serious health condition is that he had a health condition involving continuing treatment by a doctor that was episodic and it continued over an extended period of time. The record shows that Mr. Levine did receive continuing treatment by a doctor. He had treated with a doctor for at least 2.5 years prior to his November 26th through 29th, 1999 absence that he was terminated for.
Mr.
Pierce. Didn't see a doctor in connection with this incident, though, did he?
Not with this incident. He'd been treating for a considerable period of time prior to that for his illness. So.
When did he first inform the museum that GERD was the illness that sent him home that day?
He, in the record, we have an email from him to Jan Weiss, who is the HR director of the museum, on the Tuesday following the Friday absence, where he states that I was absent, I had to leave early on Friday because I was ill, and I was still ill on Monday.
Right. That's, for all they knew, he could have been out with a cold. When does he first inform the museum that it's GERD?
The museum never asked. He was never given an opportunity. We did send, and these aren't in the record, but we did send some letters later on telling them that it was GERD, but he was never asked by the museum why he was absent.
Well, but whose responsibility is it?
It is our point that by letting the museum know that he was ill, and he was ill for a period of time that would normally trigger FMLA protections, that that is a potentially FMLA qualifying illness, and at that point it's the museum's responsibility to inquire further.
This email that he sent on Tuesday was just in response to one they sent to him and asked him about this, who was in charge over there and when this fight was going on.
Yes, Your Honor. Mr. Levine at the time was not anticipating any necessity for providing the museum with any information regarding his absence. It was not the museum's policy to require him to check out, to let them know where he had been. They had an extremely flexible leave policy, and he was doing what was normal. He came into work.
Is it normal to just leave a 15-year-old in charge?
In this situation, yes, it was.
What situation mean? What, he was sick?
Where
but suppose he had just a regular doctor's appointment, or he had something that he had to get to the bank before it closed, or something like that.
No, the record does not show that Mr. Levine ever left.
He did. Well, no, but I mean, you think he could just leave the 15-year-old in charge? I mean, it's fine if nothing happens, I guess.
There were times that Mr. Levine did have to leave young people in charge because of staffing demands.
Did he notify some adult who may be in another department or something?
He notified prior to that David Cassidy and Janice Weiss, I believe Janice Weiss, that he had to staff the planetarium at times on weekends with junior staff.
If he's well enough to call his wife and to tell the junior volunteers that he's leaving, how can we find he informed his employer as soon as practical when he, you know, delayed going to the museum until he returned?
It's primarily a function of the very flexible leave policy that they did have. If you're sick, you go home. You tell somebody and you go home. And he told the people, he told the people that needed to be told, in his opinion, that he was leaving, and he went home.
What evidence is there that he has serious medical condition as defined in the regulation?
Oh, there's actually two things. One would be the period of treatment. He treated for at least 2.5 years. His testimony is he started treating in 1985, as a matter of fact.
I mean, if you're treated for something any time, that makes it good to invoke this leave.
Well, which actually sort of piggybacks onto the second point, is that the museum never, not taking the opportunity to invoke the FMLA's protection mechanisms for employers, which is by getting a medical certification or having forcing the employee to get a medical certification, the employer never had any idea of whether or not he had a serious medical condition or not. And by raising it now, 2 years, or by raising it at the point of the filing of the motion for summary judgment 2 years after the fact, puts Mr. Levine at a severe disadvantage. It's very difficult to show that an absence that you had 2 years ago was necessitated by a serious medical condition.
Why would they have had any indication that was an issue?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, with the certification?
Why would they go to bother to have a certification if he tells them doesn't even suggest he has a serious medical condition?
Well, I would suggest that it does. I mean, the cases, I believe it's Collins is another case that cites that saying that you're sick is not enough. In that case, however, the person who reported that she was sick or she was out sick had been out for 2 days and called in and said, I'm sick. Mr. Levine sent an email indicating he'd been out for more than 3 days, which is, under the regulations, at least one of the triggers for a FMLA qualifying absence, and that he was still sick, or that he was sick from that same illness during that entire time. And that should have set off in motion in the museum's mind, hey, this could have been an FMLA qualifying absence, and triggering a need for them to inquire further.
Well, this message that he sent was apparently in response to one they sent to him. I mean, are they supposed to be focusing on a leave act at all times and just take action when there's something that might possibly invoke it?
I wouldn't suggest that an employer should be focusing on the leave act at all times. However, when I think that's exactly right. When there is a potentially triggering event, that at that point they should at least turn their partial attention towards that.
Of course, probably nothing would have happened had it not been for these kids getting in a fight and then having the 15 or 16-year-old in charge, who probably no older than they are, and so now they got a problem, so they're coming to him and saying, pretty much, probably you're out of here, why'd you do that?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
It seems to me that he's really going to put up an FMLA, he should hop to it.
Well, and much like the plaintiffs in many other cases, Mr. Levine did not know his rights under the FMLA. No. He didn't realize what he was and was not entitled to at the time, and the museum took no steps to inform him of that.
But the museum seems to have provided a legitimate non-discriminatory reason for his firing, wholly unrelated to his use of leave. I mean, is there any evidence in the record that would question the validity of the reason?
There's no evidence that would question the evidence of the reason. And on the retaliation claim, that might very well, under McDonnell Douglas framework, hold true that it is a legitimate non-discriminatory reason.
Retaliation? They fired him before he ever alleged FMLA. Can't be any retaliation on that.
And our point is that this is a direct violation. What we're arguing today, or what we are arguing, is that this is a direct violation. In which case, the reasons for the termination are unimportant, that he had a right to this leave, and he took this leave, and he was fired as a result. And the museum admits that had he not been absent for that partial date on November 26, he would not have been terminated.
we broke up the fight.
Forgive me, Your Honor, I've forgotten. It was somebody, it was not May Holes, who was the young lady left in charge of the planetarium. I believe it was security. But I'm not positive that. If I may reserve the rest of my time for...
Yeah.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. Good afternoon. My name is David Gray. I represent the Children's Museum of Indianapolis. By the court's questioning of Mr. Pierce, I surmise that the court is sensitive to some of the arguments the museum has raised, so I will try to keep my remarks brief. This case does concern the termination of Mr. Levine's employment with the museum. Mr. Levine argues that the museum violated his rights under FMLA by terminating his employment. We counter that he had no rights under the FMLA, and even if he did, his termination was solely motivated by the fact that he left his area of responsibility at the museum, the planetarium, leaving a junior staff member who was under 18 years of age in sole charge of the area. In his absence, the fight broke out. And I would add at this point, the fact that the fight broke out is really not determinative for the museum. The fact that the museum was at risk because a minor was in charge of a very distinct and separate area of the museum was sufficient. The museum may not have known about it, but for the fact that the fight broke out. But as the termination he received was not because the fight broke out. It was because he left his area of responsibility. The lower court found that Mr. Levine had no entitlement to FMLA rights for two reasons. Number one, he did not suffer a serious health condition.
Well, you're not asking us to find that GERD is never a serious medical
condition. Not at all. But it does not, as you know, the regulations that describe serious health condition does not talk about illnesses. They talk about the effect of the illness on the individual. And one of the requirements, as was noted, is a continuing care. And in this instance, we had, from the time of the incident in question until his deposition, roughly 18 months later, he had not seen a physician for his GERD. In addition, as the court has also recognized, even if he was suffering from a serious health condition, you got to give us a chance. You have to let us know that there's a problem. He did not let us know there was a problem. In his email that was in response to an inquiry from the museum, he simply stated that he had been ill. And you're quite right, that nowhere until after his termination did the mention of GERD come up or Family Medical Leave Act come up. Finally, and the court also recognizes it, as did the lower court, I think there's a serious issue here as to whether or not Mr. Levine can show a harm in any way, shape, or form. The testimony is that he left because he was ill. He was gone 2 or 3 days. The museum brought him back. He wasn't fired on the spot and said, no, you've lost your position. He was reinstated, if you will. He was allowed to perform his duty. Soon after that, when we discovered what had happened, yes, he was fired. But the evidence is totally uncontradicted that the reason for his termination was leaving a minor in charge, had nothing to do with his illness or his GERD. GERD wasn't known to us at that point in time. For the reasons stated and the reasons in our brief, we think that this matter of the lower court should be affirmed. I thank you for your patience.
Okay. Do you have anything else, Mr. Pierce?
One more item, Your Honors. The defendant cites several cases in their brief to suggest that the employer in this type of situation is under no obligation to ask for certification in order to protect themselves from this exact type of situation. Every single case that the defendant cite involve second certifications. All of the employees in those cases had provided either voluntarily or by being asked by the employer to provide a certification. They had provided said certifications, and the courts all state that there is no requirement under the regulations to provide or for the employer to ask for a second certification in order to protect its rights under the regulations. The Thorson case, which this court cites to in Rager v. Dade Baring, as being a source for the proposition that an employer may waive certification requirements. Thorson, it was a case, may I finish?
Better wrap it up.
Wherein an employee suffered from minor stomach ulcers, and the employer did not ask for certification. Later on, the employee the doctor gave the opinion that the employee would not have been qualified for FMLA. However, the Fifth Circuit in that case said that it was too late, that the employer lost its chance when it did not ask for certification at the time of the incident. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks. The case will be taken under advisement. Court will be in recess until 9:30 Monday morning.
Yeah, and